Welcome to the Careering into Motherhood podcast with me, Jane Johnson. When I started recording this episode, I'd wanted to talk to employers about the changes that they'd been forced to make in regards to flexible working. I wanted to explore what had worked for them and what hadn't, and to see which arrangements might be possibly likely to stay in future once things get back to the new normal. Most people seem to enjoy not having to commute every day, and while the juggle of homeschooling and trying to work is nothing short of a complete nightmare for most people, myself included, actually being able to be there for bedtime or have meals together is driving a rethink about what the new normal working week might look like in the future. So I've interviewed two directors, Hannah Harrison from the graduate recruitment firm GTI, and Alicia Alenia, Group Head of People at the large law firm Slater & Gordon. But then in the interests of balance and getting the other side of the coin, I also spoke to Louise King, who works at creative agency Oliver. Louise is a first-time mum, and in her own words, she talks about learning the ropes of motherhood while trying to make flexible working actually work. And her husband is a key worker, so we talked about how they've creatively come at this problem of sharing the childcare with work commitments. I've decided to make this into a two-part episode, so just talking with mums in different situations about how we're coping at the moment. The aim is to make us all feel a little bit more together and not as though we're all failing dramatically at this. And I know this is not just a motherhood thing. This is parents and other people with other kinds of caring commitments. But the focus of this podcast is always on motherhood. And so that's what I've taken for these episodes. So let's hear from Hannah Harrison about how her firm approached lockdown, specifically with regards to helping employees with childcare commitments when the schools closed. So Hannah, thank you very much for making the time to come on in what must be an incredibly hectic time for you at the moment. I'm guessing you are working from home.
I am indeed.
So you're a director at a large recruitment firm. How set up was your organisation for remote or flexible working?
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is we are fundamentally a tech company, so we're very used to remote and virtual working, but we hadn't ever done the whole company all working from home at once. So we kind of anticipated that the lockdown was about to happen. So we did a test of that. So we sent everyone home the week before and just tested everything. And fortunately, it all worked. So it has been fine from that perspective.
Yes. And I mean, I think the one thing that I keep emphasizing and talking to people about, because obviously as a flexible working campaigner myself, this is not flexible working. This is not what we're talking about campaigning for, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. So I wonder, you know, in terms of your firm, have you seen an impact on productivity or you personally?
Yeah, I think both, actually. I think from a personal level, I'm quite an introvert naturally. So I always used to go into the office very early to get some quiet time in order to get stuff done. So I get quite distracted in an office environment. So actually, for me personally, working from home is really helpful because I get to focus on things when I need to and connect with people when I need to. And I can kind of control that a little bit more than I would in a normal office environment. But I think also, I guess, from a work perspective, so as a firm, I think, you know, you can't just sit on video calls for hours in the way that you might sit in a meeting room talking and talking and talking. So I think, you know, what I've seen is that our meetings tend to be a lot shorter. They tend to be a lot more frequent. And I think that's had a massive impact on productivity because we're making decisions a lot quicker. Everything feels like it's moving forward at a much faster pace than I think it ever did before.
That's interesting. And do you think it's that people are just being more focused with their time? I guess it's a combination of things, is it?
Yes. And people, you know, everyone's working different hours at the moment because we're having to, you know, we're having to fit stuff in around everyone's particular circumstances. So we don't have that luxury of just let's all sit in a meeting room and talk things through for 2 hours. You know, often it's, well, look, we can all find this half an hour. Let's get in. Let's get to the issue. Let's make a decision. And I really like that way of working. I think it's fantastically beneficial.
And has that been a surprise to you or to other members of your senior team?
It's not something we've kind of discussed, but I think we've all recognised that it's a really positive way of working. You know, previously we would have had, you know, a big, you know, monthly management meeting where we talk about, you know, big agenda, talk about, you know, lots of different critical issues for the business. Whereas now it's, you know, it's a 3 times a week morning call, you know, let's talk. And therefore I think we're collaborating a lot better as a senior team and moving things forward quicker.
That's great. Well, I think that's great.
Yeah, and I think it's great.
Has it extended your working day, again, either you personally or as a company? You say you used to like getting up early and getting into the office early.
I'm having to work very differently. I've got 2 young children, one of whom's of school age, one is a toddler. I'm having to work my hours in a very, very flexible way, sometimes early, sometimes very late, sometimes at the weekend. So, you know, I think everyone's having to be a lot more flexible. I think you have to be very disciplined when you're working in this environment, and you have to set your own boundaries in terms of how you work. And what I did with my team was to say, you know, this is how I'm going to be working, which means you may get emails from me at the weekend or in the evening or first thing in the morning. And I absolutely do not expect you to respond to those, except when you have decided that you are working to suit your life. So, you know, you have to, I think, be very clear about where the boundaries are and how you're working and how you expect others to work. Otherwise, you just end up working all the time.
Yeah, that's great. And I know that's a real risk that a lot of people are feeling, that people perhaps not in such senior roles who are feeling, oh my God, my manager's emailing me at all hours of the day. And that was definitely something that happened before this crisis. Yeah. So now I think people are sort of being able to ring fence certain areas of time, and maybe we've removed that expectation even that you do have to reply immediately to something that isn't actually, you know, business critical.
Yeah. And, you know, I also said to them, these are the times that I'm going to be with my children and I'm not going to be answering my phone. You know, if you need to speak to me, you know, put a slot in my diary. If it's, you know, absolutely urgent, can't wait 2 hours, you know, send me a WhatsApp, but I'm not going to be consistently checking my phone because I've got to focus on them as much as I've got to get my job done.
Yeah. And do you think this is providing, I guess, more acceptance of the fact that people have families and other commitments, caring, whatever it might be? You know, now people are, I'm seeing it as well, that people are saying, oh, actually, I can't do that meeting because I'm looking after my child or children at that time. Whereas previously, we would never have mentioned the fact we've got kids during the working day.
I think the thing that's interesting is that it probably always would have been okay to say it. It's just that we've now had permission to say it.
Yeah. And do you think that is going to continue? I guess so. Yeah. So moving to the future, whatever that future is going to look like, are there bits that your company or you with your team want to continue? Has it made you think differently about people who need to work flexibly or want to work flexibly?
I mean, I think we were always reasonably well established in terms of the way we worked as a team. So my team, all of them worked 2 days a week from home in any case, because I was very passionate about the fact that flexibility shouldn't just be for working parents. So, you know, in many ways, you know, I was a champion for it because I came back from, you know, maternity leave and I was the only person that was coming in early or leaving early or working slightly different hours. And I was like, this is bonkers. You know, everyone's got a life. So, you know, let's all do it. So all of my team had, you know, worked from home 2 days a week and we all worked slightly more flexible hours. So recognizing that some people prefer to work early and some people prefer to work later. And therefore there was a kind of a flexibility in start and finish times anyway within my team. But I think that this is a hyper flexible situation that we're in. But I think that we're, you know, as a result, we're kind of learning and testing things that we probably never would have done. So when you sit around, you know, as a leadership team, you have conversations about flexible working, there's a lot of, oh gosh, I'm not sure how that would work. And we're sort of testing all of that stuff now because we've got to, which I think is great because I think we've therefore accelerated the journey much faster than we would have done, because you're not going to say to people, oh, let's just try everyone working whatever hours they like, because once you almost do that, you're like, well, how would we wind that back if it didn't work? Whereas we're kind of having to do, you know, it's a great flexible working experiment that we're in at the moment. And there's also going to be some people in this situation that think, I never want to work from home again. And I think that's great, because it has, you know, the great thing about flexible working is it should be about the individual. It shouldn't be about, this is the way we do it. It's about looking at an individual circumstance and saying, how do you like to work and how can we best support you in a work environment to be your best self? And we're all trying that now, and we'll all come back with this is what works for me. Actually, I quite like being in the office, or actually, I like having more time at home, or actually, I work better in the morning or in the evening, or, you know, when it's quiet, or I need background noise or whatever. And we can all come back to the table with our own journey of flexibility and figure out how we want to work moving forward.
Yeah. And you're obviously, as you talked about, you know, you had a very forward-looking view with regards to flexible working for your team and so on anyway. Not asking you to name any names, but have you seen either within your clients or within your own organisation, have there been views that you think maybe are being swayed either one way or the other? I mean, someone replied to the post that I put on LinkedIn asking for contributors to this podcast and said, actually, there's a danger that the hiring managers who were very negative about flexible working now just retrench and become even more negative about it. I'd like to hope that actually it's, you know, those people when we were never going to change their minds, but I'd like to hope that people who are perhaps on the fence might have moved across to the other side now and see the benefits. Have you had any views on that side of things?
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been anyone sort of sitting at the table going, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. You know, how on earth am I going to, you know, work out what my team's doing? I think there were definitely teams in our business that we probably felt were less set up to work flexibly. And actually, we've had, you know, that it's been very helpful to see that we can do those things flexibly. There are definitely teams in our organisation that massively benefit from all sitting together, you know, commercial teams that bounce, you know, bounce off each other. They need that energy. But, you know, you can create that in different ways. And I think, you know, this is giving us an opportunity to be, you know, creative. I've a colleague of mine, her other half, you know, works in an organization, and they literally are just logged on the whole day. And it's like they're all sat round a table all day, and they just sit and they chat and they do their work. And, you know, that's how they've worked that particular situation out. And I think it's good, because it's pushing us to really think about different ways of working.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. This is a spurring on of the creative job design and job structure. And obviously you're in recruitment, which is normally a very face-to-face, you know, meeting candidates, looking whites in the eyes, I would say. How are you dealing with that kind of thing? You know, candidate interviews, working with your clients? How have you moved that stuff online?
Yeah, I mean, look, inevitably we've had to work really closely with our clients to help them manage their processes in this, you know, in this kind of environment. We've been doing a lot of adapting of, you know, things like assessment centres and open days and insight programmes, and, you know, how might we run a virtual internship, for example. I think that, you know, technology plays a massive part in being able to do that, and we're kind of fortunate because that we've got our own tech to do that. So a lot of it has been about, well, how can we use the tech that we've got and the exercises that we've got and adapt everything to work in a virtual space. But there's also a massive element of how do we support people through that process, because we as a company focus on early careers, and whilst it's very easy to assume that young people are digital natives, they're not used to using Microsoft Teams or Zoom necessarily. You know, that they're used to using, you know, TikTok or Instagram. Yeah. So we've had to do a lot of kind of coaching of candidate in order to make them make sure they feel comfortable in a virtual environment from an assessment perspective. And there's also, you know, it's also about working with hiring managers to say, you know, to in terms of kind of decision making processes, that, you know, you've got to remove that lens of, well, this person was, you know, their video is a bit wobbly. Well, you know, maybe they don't have a laptop, and maybe they're, you know, maybe they're living in a home where they've got lots of siblings running around and it's hard for them to find a quiet space. So, you know, you've got to make sure that we're challenging any kind of perception about the candidates based on the situation that they might find themselves in, and making sure that those decisions are being made absolutely on their responses to those exercises. So it's been a really interesting journey and continues to be a very interesting journey, but I'm loving it in many ways, you know, because we're kind of, you know, we've always had certain pieces of technology and we're looking at them and going, oh gosh, what if we used that for this, which we'd never thought of before. And I think it's quite an exciting time to be working.
It sounds it. I love the idea of virtual internships. I mean, potentially that could open doors to so many more people.
From a social mobility perspective, it would be fantastic because not everyone can afford to move to London for the summer. So, you know, imagine the possibilities moving forward if that is something that continues.
My next guest is Alicia Alenia. She is the Chief People Officer at Slater & Gordon law firm. Slater & Gordon have always had quite a big focus on doing things slightly differently. I know a couple of people who've worked there, and Alicia's role is very much obviously focused on their people and their aim to try and create a culture and a business where talent is really developed and supported. So in times of a global pandemic, that really puts all of this to the test. So I caught up with Alicia to talk about what Slater & Gordon have been doing. Obviously, this is a hugely stressful time for people, regardless of what's happening at work. But what sort of feedback, you mentioned your pulse surveys and engagement surveys, what kind of things are people appreciating or enjoying, and what are they not?
So I'll start with the negative. I think working from home to the extent that we're now all doing, it makes differentiating between home and work very difficult. Mm-hmm. So that boundary that you always have when you clock off at a certain hour and you get home and you take your work clothes off and you can have a psychological distance from work for a good few hours before you're back on. That doesn't really happen in this current environment. Yes. Because you feel like you're on the whole time. And personally speaking, you feel like you're staring at a TV screen all day because you're in endless meetings. So that's been one of the challenges, being able to really encourage our people to take regular breaks, to make sure they exercise, to keep their mental health as fresh as possible, to have the Thrive app. So we've gone really to town with our intranet, and we built a COVID page, which the team were fantastic at doing, that had all manner of different kind of advice and ideas on how to cope through this period.
Right.
Some of the issues that we encountered and we continue to support our people around are those who are single parents, anomalously difficult with young children, where you're kind of trying to do the best you can with your work, but also look after little ones.
Yes.
And those who have loved ones in the frontline services. Mm. And that must be an incredibly stressful period for them. But that's been a lot of that kind of feedback, which has been constructive, albeit quite concerning. The positives have been, we've got offices all around the country. And as any business who's kind of UK nationwide will probably experience, is that you tend to have regional offices less of a reach than the kind of your flagship offices. Mm-hmm. So they feel a little bit more outside of the business than they would otherwise. And this period has really given us some fantastic feedback, because now it's a leveler. Nobody gets more attention than anybody else. Mm. And everybody feels part of a group, because our level of communication has probably extended to a level that it's never been before. So we are constantly talking to our people and to the business.
That's fascinating, actually. So you mean the sort of, sorry, I don't know your internal phrases, but almost the satellite, the more regional offices are now have just as much weight as, say, the London head office.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting.
People are generally loving working remotely. I mean, alongside, of course, we've got, you know, the government kind of initiative for retention and the furlough scheme that a lot of businesses have used. Actually, what it's given us the opportunity to do for those people that doesn't apply to is look at staggered hours, look at different types of support that we can provide, you know, parents who are struggling being everything, you know, the teacher, the nurse, the cheerleader, the this, the that.
The cook.
And the cook. And we've been quite, and in some ways been forced to be quite creative around how we support those individuals. So they don't feel unnecessarily stressed simply because they've got a job to do.
Yes, I love this idea that obviously from my own passionate platform, I love this idea that this has actually, you know, out of this huge adversity, this has forced companies to be more creative and to listen and to hear those people like the single parents and the parents with young kids and people with caring responsibilities. So are there any aspects of what you have implemented and been able to accommodate during COVID-19 that you are looking at continuing into the new normal?
I think it would be naive to think that once this situation is as managed as it possibly can be, you can go back to what you saw as normal in a previous world. And I think companies will fall into two categories in my mind. You either survive or thrive. And all of the really key takeaways from the COVID experience and what businesses have managed to achieve have to be the basis on which you continue and you develop. And so we are looking at the way in which we can accelerate a lot of that mission statement, which was that kind of technology-driven legal services, to the extent that we have to be much more flexible in the way we look at recruitment, in the way we look at our talent pool, in the way we set up our businesses, our offices, the design of those offices, what that means for interconnectivity, how we make sure that we have a culture that we build irrespective of how people are working. And that's a massive opportunity for businesses. And it would be remiss of anybody to think that they can just simply go back to the way things were, because you're missing out on a much bigger way of thinking, a much deeper way of thinking about your business. And that's absolutely what we intend to do.
Fantastic. I really hope, you know, that you're successful in doing that, and that other, especially law firms and the sort of consulting intellectual property type firms will follow your lead as well. And can I ask, how are your peers on the senior team adjusting? Because again, I think very much in your kinds of industries, there is an image that it's fairly traditional. I appreciate you are not one of the traditional law firms, but are they adjusting? Are they changing their views on flex?
Well, I think I'll deal with that question by addressing just a point that you made, which is a really important one about the legal industry. So whilst we might think that we're innovators and we're bucking the trend, actually the legal industry in itself is pretty traditional, as you say. And we've made a really conscious decision not to be traditional. And we've got a bit way to go. But the executive leadership team is made up of people who are predominantly not lawyers. So we have industry leaders in finance sector, in the retail sector, from a very kind of, you know, a diverse technology background, from the Big Four. So we made that conscious decision. I think David Whitmore was really keen to ensure that we had people who thought differently about providing customer services from a legal perspective. And so I think I have a legal background, but I'm one of two people on the executive team that do. And when this crisis happened, it really galvanized us as a team and us as a group into really thinking beyond our own limits of how we could push this business forward to really achieve that mission. So it's been quite an experience. Crises either bring out the best or worst in people. Yes. And I think in our circumstance, we probably have seen the best of us as a group, but also the best of our people.
It's so heartening to hear. And I, as I say, I'm really grateful to you for coming. You know, it is such uncertain times, and to have a large corporate like yours to come out and say this kind of stuff, it's so needed. So we've heard from to large employers at the very senior level about what they are doing and their view on how things are changing and what they're trying to change for their employees. Now I wanted to talk to an employee herself and somebody who is, I was going to say really struggling, but actually that's not the message that she gives at all. She's been really creative. Her name's Louise King. She's an account director with a creative and brand agency called Oliver. She has an 18-month-old daughter and her husband is a key worker. And they've come up with a creative, if albeit still very stressful, way of dealing with having two people in near full-time employment. So really grateful to Louise. And she talks really honestly about how she's managing things at the moment. I'm really grateful to you for making the time. I know you've got an 18-month-old daughter, and I think you've got a really interesting setup, haven't you, at the moment? You're working shift work and your husband is doing the same, is that right? Can you tell me a bit more about it?
Yeah, of course. He's a key worker, actually. He's a postman. He starts between 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning and will come back at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I have my daughter from when she wakes up. As she's a good sleeper, it's normally about 7, so it's not too early. And then I will entertain her as best as I possibly can through till 2 when he gets back, and then we hand over and then I start work. So I work from 2 till about 10 o'clock at night. I'll have a break roughly about 6 o'clock-ish to put her to bed, and then I might have something to eat quickly, and then I'm back on my emails basically. So it's hard. I'm not going to lie. Before I even start work, I have pretty much already done
a day's work
already. Yeah. So it is quite tiring. I think the thing I'm finding the hardest, and they always tell you this when you become a new mom, is about, you know, looking after yourself and making time for you, and actually that's probably the thing that has fallen by the wayside somewhat. Things like washing my hair, like it sounds absolutely disgusting, but I'd be like, oh really, I've got an hour to myself potentially. If she sleeps all the way through to when my partner gets home, Do I do the cleaning? Do I just have a cup of tea? And then once she's in bed and I'm back at work, and by the time I've finished, I just want to go to bed. I don't necessarily want to think about, you know, making sure I've had some fruit or have I done some exercise. I just want to go to bed. So it's pretty exhausting, if I'm honest. And actually, I'm talking very selfishly about myself and my situation, but actually for my partner, he's just done, 8 hours of walking around around the streets, and then comes back and has to entertain her for what I actually find is the hardest bit of the day. Really, so we don't really get much time together at the moment. I do a four day week, so I do have Friday, which if he does an early shift and is back in the afternoon, we do get some time together, but because she's at 18 months old as well, she's kind of at that quite needy stage where nothing is entertaining for more than a couple of minutes, and she wants to play with you, she doesn't want to play on her own. So it's pretty full on, but it does work, and we've made it work.
When did you decide and come up with, I mean, it's really creative, as exhausting as it sounds. How did you come up with this idea?
Well, at first, she's normally in nursery 4 days a week, although albeit not necessarily for full days. And at first, it's like, oh no, they're still going to be open for key workers. Like, I kind of thought, oh, actually, this probably works quite well for us, because, you know, I can probably get a full day's work done. I don't have to commute, so I could potentially get more in, and it might be a little bit easier going. And then we found out that our nursery was closing for all. So we wouldn't be able to send her.
So they didn't have a partner agreement with another nursery or something?
Not that we were told of. And at that point, we did think about, do we look into sending her somewhere else? And we felt that she took a little while to settle in.
Yeah.
And I kind of didn't really want to give her more upheaval. I thought it was better that we try and find a way around it, really. And I think I did think at one point, is it better to go up to Nottingham and stay with my parents, and then they can have her for the full day and I can do a normal day's work? But then I'm pretty glad actually now that we didn't, because I don't think that would have worked. I would have been away from my partner for too long. So it was almost, I think I'm quite lucky in that I have a partner who does do shift work anyway. I mean, he has had to reduce the shifts that he does, and therefore his earnings aren't quite as high as they would have been. But we did decide that as I'm the breadwinner, it made sense for it to accommodate my working patterns and what I needed to do.
And so did you approach your employer and suggest this, or how did it come about?
Yeah, I mean, when I came back to work in October last year, I asked for some flexi time because I now do two days working from home and I do 2 days in the office because it's quite a hefty commute. And they allowed me to have the Friday as a non-working day. So they were really flexible when I came back. When this situation came up, I said, you know, I am going to struggle with childcare. I don't know from when. I'm not quite sure how to do it. Would it be okay if I did some very strange working hours? And they have actually been really good. I mean, certainly my boss and my MD are of the thinking that, you know, it doesn't matter where or when you do the work as long as the work gets done. And I think I've always felt the same for my teams as well. Like, obviously you have to be client facing and you do have to go to those meetings, but you just be accommodating and make sure that everyone knows. And I think actually being quite structured as to when you're working rather than being on and off and some days are different, trying to have the same thing every day, at least everybody then knows when you're available and you're managing everyone's expectations that way. But I did go to my employer and say, this is how I think it could work. It does mean that I'm working late into the evening, but it does have some plus sides. I mean, I tend to that time where you're not having to be working with everybody else, or you don't have to be on client calls. That time from sort of about 6 o'clock onwards, I get an awful lot done because you don't have emails flying all over the place. Yeah. I can actually concentrate on, you know, horrible spreadsheets and all the figures and things. I can do that on my own, which is kind of the benefit of it. But they were very good, and I think if I'd suggested that, you know, actually one day might be very different to another, I think they would have been okay with that.
It's amazing, you know, because now I suspect that when you go back, you'll be all the more sticky to that employer, won't you, because of the way they have accommodated.
100%, and I think they've been very, very good to me actually with all of my maternity leave. While I was off, I was diagnosed with postnatal depression probably about a month after my daughter was born. And I was very anxious about coming back. I was really worried about losing my identity, and I love my job and my job is part of my identity. And I'd always been this person that would go way over and beyond, and I would work until the job is done, and I would put all these extra hours in, and I was so worried that I'm going to be viewed differently and that I'm going to be like a slacker, or my daughter will be an excuse at some point. No, sorry, I can't do that because I've got to put my daughter to bed. And I'm so worried about that.
Yeah.
And that kind of towards the end of my maternity leave, I was getting really anxious about it. And we had the keeping in touch days, and actually a lot of the pressure is probably put on by myself. I thought I was going to do a half-baked job of being a mum and a half-baked job of my actual job. But then no one's actually ever put that pressure on me or made me feel that way. It's the pressure that I've put on myself. And I don't think that anything a company could do could really get rid of that for me. That's a mindset that I still need to work around.
It's a very common mindset. I don't know. Enough people talk about it, I don't think.
No, and I think, is it just part of being a mum? Is that something I have to get used to, or I've got to stop being too hard on myself? Still struggle with it, but in terms of like sort of my mental health, they have been very good. I've been on the like EAP programs, and I'm able to be quite honest about how I'm feeling. So if I'm having a particularly wobbly phase where I am feeling quite anxious, I have been able to say it, and you know, having unplugged days and just kind of, you know, stop when you've got your bits done, just stop, don't do any more. And that has been really helpful. Communication has been key to that. And almost not being afraid to say it.
Yeah, well, it's very brave to talk about it. Can I ask, you don't have to answer, but how has your mental health been at the moment through this? Because I can talk from personal experience. I am trying to shoehorn everything I do in and around at the moment, been working till midnight and so on because of what, you know, I have a 5-year-old at home, and I feel frayed. I'm going to say it. I feel absolutely frayed. But, you know, I've had five, almost 6 years of motherhood experience. You've got 18 months. How are you coping?
The tiredness, I'm so lucky because she's such a good sleeper, right? She sleeps all the way through the night and has done for a long time. And I don't know how I would cope if she didn't. I genuinely don't, because I do, when I go to bed, it pretty much until 7 o'clock, I will be undisturbed, and I need that. And I think I've always been able to deal with quite a lot, and I've been able to take it so far. I mean, there are days where I've been seriously overwhelmed, and it's not even necessarily with the volume of work. It's been things probably more around, am I doing the right thing for her? Have I put the telly on in the background too much? Am I reading to her enough? I mean, she wants to read the same 5 books over and over again. And
yes,
I find myself kind of like, if I just like, don't make eye contact, please don't bring that book over to me. I don't want to read it again, which is a dreadful thing.
I'm just so happy to hear someone else say it.
I'm like, oh my gosh, Pom Pom gets the grumps. Yeah, I know who else is getting the grumps. I can't. And then I feel really guilty because I'm like, I should be, some of my friends are going, you know, it's so nice to spend this time with our children. Mm. And I think, yeah, I hear that. And I love spending time with her, but this is really hard to keep her entertained. And that is difficult. And then at the same time, I'm also thinking, right, okay, please go down for your nap, okay? Because I know that I've got a conference call at 1:30. Please don't wake up. Mm. Like, and then I find myself doing baby maths again. I'm like, oh, okay, so you woke up slightly early today. So if I put you down for your nap slightly later,
baby maths,
then maybe, baby maths. And then you just kind of find that your whole brain is just taken up with all of these little things. Mm. And it stays like that where I feel overwhelmed, I think.
And you do have a... I'd say by the sounds of it, quite an exceptional, really supportive employer on days like that. Have you been able to say, look, guys, I'm not able to get as much done? Because I mean, that's normal life. That happens on days in the office. That happens regardless of whether you're a parent or not. You have good days and bad days. Or do you think there's more pressure to kind of prove that you're working when you're out of sight?
I think it's the same thing. The pressure is put on myself. I think even if when I've worked from home before, before I was a mum, I think I always felt like I had to, you know, to be seen more. So maybe send some more emails so they know that I'm not slacking. Mm. Or even just things like I have a lunch break and I could have like just gone into town and got a coffee quickly. Mm. The guilt that I feel of doing that, I've kind of always been quite aware that, you know, what if someone thinks that I'm not doing it, I'd have to show doubly hard that I'm trying. Mm. I don't think that's changed as I've become a mum. I think I will always be wary of that. And I always said that I never wanted her to be an excuse for not either performing or having to log off at a certain time. I never wanted her to be a part of any of that reason, which I still don't know whether that's the right thing or the wrong way of looking at it. But it's almost it's almost like being a mum shouldn't come into it. Mm. And I try and it's too difficult to separate out completely. It doesn't it doesn't work like that. But definitely when I've had days where I've just gone, I'm out, I'm done today. Mm. I have said, I worked really late last night and I like to get things done. I don't like to finish things halfway through. So I will be happy to do a little bit later to get the thing done. Mm. And then if the next day is a little bit rough, I will say, you know, I need to take some time back for myself. I need to do some exercise. Like, I haven't left the house in 5 days. I need to go for my hour walk. Like, I really need to get out. And they have understood that, and they've been really accommodating with that. Mm. And I don't know what that's like for everybody else, but I've certainly been fortunate enough to not have experienced any negative comments or pressure.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of, just from what I'm hearing, obviously there are a lot of businesses that are more at the intelligent end of the spectrum. But then I hear on a daily basis, and one shocker today was a woman who was furloughed and now the company is talking to her about coming back. But of course, we've got no idea when the schools are going back. And so they've basically said to her, well, that's your problem. We need you. Your job is 9 to 5. And you know, you need to work it out, which I just beggars belief that in this day and age, there's companies that can't think creatively.
I don't understand that. I mean, there's obviously, I can't remember the lady's name, Mother Pucker. Has obviously campaigned, that's it, thank you, Anna Whitehouse, has campaigned a lot for flexible working, not just for mothers, but for all. And some of the figures that I've said that, you know, the productivity and the financial implications of allowing flexible working, it's almost... like, I don't know what other proof you need to see that this does work. It's not necessarily easy for everybody, but it can work and you can find ways around it.
I think that's what this has proven. This has forced, that's what I was talking about with some of our other guests, that this has forced, who are, as I say, you know, this kind of senior level execs, this has forced them to think more creatively about how their employees work.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I've managed quite a few teams, and I would say probably in my naivety before becoming a mum, I think I would always have been, oh, flexible working request. Oh no, how's that going to affect the rest of the team? How's it going to affect the client? And I've not, I've not been against it, but I've always had that nervousness around it. And then actually, as I've got a bit older and become a mum, I've kind of gone, well, actually, you know, this isn't, it shouldn't have that immediate, oh no, how am I going to cope with that?
Yes.
That's a knee-jerk reaction, is that somebody wants flexible working. Oh my God, I'm going to have to explain this to the client. Yes. I'm going to have to get other people to pick up their work. It's going to be a nightmare. And I hope one of the kind of positives come out of this is that actually people have been forced in. No one knows how to deal with this. Nobody knows how long it's going to go on for. But if people are finding ways around it and it does work, then long may that continue. Surely that's better for everybody.
Yes, definitely.
But I totally understand why people can be, that's horrible for that woman to be told that that's what it's her problem, she has to deal with it. But I can understand that reaction, but it's not the right reaction.
No,
because it doesn't need to be like that at all.
No, that's right. Can I ask, while I'm sure you're not anticipating suggesting that when things return to normal that you continue working till midnight or 10 o'clock at night, do you think, I mean, you talked about how when you're hiring teams, and obviously you do work in a flexible way already and you work for a really accommodating organization, but are you seeing any buds of hope that hiring managers and people, when they are now looking at hiring people, that it will be less of a jaw-dropping moment when that candidate asks if there's any flexibility? You know, and by flex, we're talking about maybe a day or two working from home or a couple of days leaving early and starting early. And we're not talking about this, let's be very clear.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think what this has shown is that it's not just the hours that you do, but the location as well. So working from home is almost much easier now. I mean, hours may be slightly more daunting, but the fact that it's working from home, everyone's had to do this. So if somebody needs to do that, then, you know, I think most of it is about trust anyway, right? It's whether your employee or your managers trust you to do it. And I think rather than trying to earn that trust, maybe the trust needs to be given first, potentially. I'm not sure. I think definitely there's certainly, when we've been looking at hires and things recently, you know, it's actually who can pick up some work in a different location, and it doesn't necessarily all have to be in the same place. So I think that, yeah, going forward, working from home shouldn't be scary. And I really do hope that continues. For sure. Although, to be fair, I don't want to do more than 2 days working from home anymore. I am sick to the sight of these four walls. I'll be glad to do a 2-hour commute just to have some different scenery.
We know what you won't be reading on that 2-hour commute.
Oh my gosh, definitely not. Oh no, give me some Peppa Pig back, please.
That's brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
You're very welcome.
I really hope you found that as interesting as I did, the three different perspectives. Hannah obviously talking about what her employer is doing, and Alicia as well, really doing something quite different in the legal sphere, and talking from the perspective of maybe some of these changes will stick permanently and they will have an impact on the way that they even recruit people. And then, of course, Louise King there talking about how she and her partner are making this work, albeit I say work sounding strained myself, because it is just about working for them. And obviously Louise is extremely upbeat and positive and talking about how she's making it work, but it's clearly not without stress and strain. And I hope that, if anything, I know we're all going through it, and I hope that this has just helped to make us all feel like we are all in this together. And sometimes I know myself, I feel like I'm not quite, not doing things right by my son, by my work, by my family, but we're just getting by. And I think that is the important thing right now. So I've actually decided to make this a 2-part episode. And next week, talking along very similar lines, but giving a different perspective again, I've got a woman who is a single mum and has a full-time job. So she's talking about how she's coping right now. And another woman who will be my guest, talking about how she and her husband are making things work as university lecturers with children at home. So everyone giving quite different perspectives. And I hope you'll enjoy the range of perspectives that they give and tune in again next week. Please do like and leave a review. It really, really helps. We're not one of the big podcasts, but we're doing really well on the charts. And I want to get these messages out. And the only way we can do that is if Apple takes note because of the number of reviews and likes and things. So thank you very much, everybody. And I hope you'll tune in again next week.